two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Jordan, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hey, stop playing tobacco's game. Control your future. Get free nicotine patches and gum at waytoquit.org. All right, it's getting crazy out there, and it'll only heat up going forward over the next 72 hours. Joining us now, one of the best out there, writes for Bleacher Report, NBA writer Andy Bailey, kind enough to join us. Andy, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. All right, so we have a lot to break down. We have a lot to go over with you, but your initial thoughts on the Will Hardy hire by the Utah Jazz, did it surprise you? And what are your thoughts overall on who the Jazz has picked up?
Well, if we're going by my impression from the start of the coaching search, I guess it probably would have surprised me a little bit. There were obviously a lot of names, and I think the one that I kind of keyed in on first was Johnny Bryant. For obvious reasons, he'd already coached at Utah. I think he had a good connection with Donovan Mitchell. I feel like we were kind of prepped for this when Will Hardy was sort of announced as one of the finalists. So I wasn't quite as surprised. There are certainly some aspects of it that are surprising. The fact that he's 34 years old is pretty surprising. He hasn't been an assistant coach for too long. Obviously you can't be an assistant coach for too long if you're 34. So there are elements of it that are surprising, but I feel like they kind of gave us a soft landing with this with some of the reporting. And my general thoughts on it are, I like when teams go sort of off the beaten path. I've never been a fan of just grabbing somebody off the coaching carousel. I think fresh new ideas are a good thing. I think he's obviously coming from a situation where he had a lot of success with the Boston Celtics. I can't help but wonder, you know, is he going to want to deploy some similar tactics that Boston did? And what does that mean for Utah's roster? Does he think he can pull off a switch heavy defensive scheme like they did in Boston with Utah's team? Can he have Rudy Gobert in a similar role as Robert Williams? Robert Williams guarded on the perimeter a lot, and I think Rudy Gobert is actually kind of underrated in that aspect of his game. I think if they are going to do some kind of, you know, everybody switches everything on defense type of a scheme, the bigger problem is the backcourt with 2 6-1 guards. So there's a lot to think about and digest. I'm not one of those people who pretends to know the entire coaching philosophy of an assistant when he's hired. But if you look at some of the clues from Boston, I think it's encouraging that they went with a young guy who probably has some fresh ideas and is coming off a lot of success.
And in your experience, when you see a Woj bomb or you see Shams announce things like a head coaching hire and then an organization's official announcement, what do you think's kind of going on behind the scenes right now? Are they just dotting I's and crossing T's? And why do you think we didn't hear official word from the Jazz yesterday? And how soon do you think we might hear it?
I would guess probably the I almost said dotting T's and crossing I's, but strike that, reverse it. I would guess that's probably what's going on. Typically, I think you can get some reporters who jump the gun. Somebody actually did that at the draft and just announced a wrong player. That doesn't. I can't remember the last time that happened with Woj and Shams, and the fact that they both. It's pretty much everywhere. So, yeah, I would guess it's probably that, just making it official.
Andy Bailey joining us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, as the Jazz welcome in a new head coach. From your understanding, now I think if Terry Stotts or Frank Vogel gets the job with their experience, what they've accomplished, they probably command greater autonomy on their assistant coaching staff. Do you anticipate Danny Ainge has a say in not only Will Hardy as a head coach, but who else is sitting next to him on that staff?
That's a good point. I'm sure he'll certainly have a say. I don't know how much of a say he'll have, but we've seen first-time coaching hires who are given that kind of autonomy not work out. The first example that comes to mind was Luke Walton with the Lakers, who more or less kind of filled out his coaching staff with just people that he knew, and obviously that didn't pan out great for him in L.A. And I think if you're a 34-year-old coach, I would think that you'd be open to the advice and the counsel of somebody like Danny Ainge, who's been in basketball for so long and probably has some connection to pretty much every coach in the league. It'll be good if he had some assistants who brought a wealth of experience with them. You know, certainly not to step on his toes or anything, but I think being a head coach in the NBA is probably something that there are a lot of landmines to navigate your way around in that job. So it'd be good for him to have someone who's been there. And maybe that's just a longtime assistant coach too. I don't think they necessarily need to go out and land some huge name to be an assistant. But long story short, I think you're right. I think Danny Ainge or the front office in general should probably be at least involved in that process.
You getting a feel for any of the current assistant staff, if they'll be retained or not?
I haven't. And I haven't really seen any reporting on that either. I can't remember who said it, but maybe it was Tony Jones or somebody else who's close to the team said that they didn't think that a lot of those guys would be retained. I think Alex Jensen's name was in a tweet. I would understand the desire to set up your own sort of your own staff. There's value in keeping around guys who know these players. There's a lot of continuity on the roster, so it might be nice to have, you know, a guy who's worked with Rudy Gobert for the last 5 or 6 years or however long it's been. But I would also understand from Hardy's perspective, you know, wanting to start fresh and build this thing from the ground up. But no, I haven't really heard, my ears not to the ground on that one as much.
What's the, you know, cause sometimes we get stuck here and it's all Jazz all the time, but from a national perspective, if I'm Alex Jensen, I don't know, even if I'm offered, if I want to return, and coach the Jazz after, you know, give my blood, sweat, and tears and not given that head coaching job, which is totally fine. The Jazz can give it to somebody else and Alex can leave. But what's the overall, I don't want to say demand, but the thought of Alex Jensen? How quickly would another team want to scoop him up and his services?
I think he'd get snatched up in a heartbeat if he goes on the coaching free agent market. His name has come up in other head coaching searches over the last couple of years. I think he's a well-respected guy around the league, and he has had a lot to do with Utah success. I think people are so caught up in their failings, the Jazz's failings over the last few years, especially in the playoffs, that it kind of gets overlooked that they are one of the steadiest, most successful regular season teams over the course of the Quinn Snyder era, and Alex Jensen is a big part of that. I think if he leaves Utah, and it would be understandable if he was ready to do that anyway, whether he was offered or not. Somebody's going to hire him, and it may not be as a head coach his next hire, but somebody's going to want him on their staff.
Andy, where do you stand in the Utah Jazz kind of trade scenario and situation? Do you feel like there's going to be a different looking roster here in a few days?
I would guess that there is. The four options have kind of been obvious to us for a while now. There's keep Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell and kind of make changes on the margins. There's trade Gobert and keep Mitchell. There's trade Mitchell and keep Gobert. And then there's just blow it all up. If I was in charge, I think I would probably lean towards the first one. I still think the Mitchell-Gobert pairing, at least on the basketball court, can work. I think the most important thing they need to think about is moving Mitchell to the one. If he's at the one and you've got a bunch of switchy guys in between Rudy Gobert at the five, I know Rudy Gobert is not exactly Robert Williams, and Donovan Mitchell is not exactly Marcus Smart, but I could see a similar sort of defensive scheme working with a lineup like that. And I don't know if Will Hardy's going to come in and say, we want to be a carbon copy of the Celtics. But there were certainly things that they did there that worked, and I think they're part of a bigger trend in basketball to be able to switch everything, to be able to play positionless. I think Rudy Gobert, frankly, could be trusted more on the perimeter. A lot of people think he's a bad perimeter defender because they've seen two or three viral clips of him getting burned. But there are plenty of guards and wings that get burned off the dribble by Stephen Curry, too. So I think they could deploy a scheme like that. And again, my preference, if I was in that front office, would be to explore the market for Mike Conley, see how you can get Mitchell to the one, and try this thing again. And then if I had to put it in sort of an order of how I'd go, it'd be really tough to break down the next two. I think I might trade Mitchell before I trade Gobert. It doesn't seem like that's the way that Utah is leaning, but I think you can get a good return for Mitchell, and I would kind of want to preempt the possible wandering eye anyway. And I know you don't have a long timeline with Gobert either, potentially because of his age. So that's what makes that such a difficult call. And I think last would be to blow it up. And I would assume Utah probably feels the same way too, because I haven't heard really any rumblings that they're interested in that.
With Rudy Gobert, and, you know, I go back to the, and now I'm spacing the article that was in The Athletic, but it was essentially saying that Rudy Gobert's value isn't what it once was, and because of what the Clippers did 2 years ago in the playoffs and the way that Dallas handled the Jazz in the first round this year, that Rudy Gobert and players like him may not have that same value that they once had. You couple that with the contract that is due with, you know, 3 years guaranteed, at least over $120 million. And if he picks up the fourth year of that option, it's pushing $150, $160 million. Is there a lot of teams out there that are banging down the door for Rudy Gobert?
Those are all important points and considerations. And I think there's probably a lot of truth to that, that his market could very well be deflated. And maybe that's another reason you think about moving Mitchell, because you can maybe get a better or a bigger haul for him. So it's certainly something to think about. I think the general, and this doesn't really speak to how front offices feel about him, but I think the general feeling among fans and analysts about him is a little off. I think he's still the most impactful defender in the league, certainly in the regular season, and I don't think it really tails off that much in the playoffs. The problem is that he's so far been unable, whether by his own failings or just the fact that he doesn't get the ball, he's unable to punish those small lineups on the other end. When a team like the Clippers feels comfortable throwing a 6'7", 6'8" guy at him and just fronting him in the around the paint and knowing that he's not going to score, that's obviously a big problem. And maybe it's a little bit of both. I mean, he's never developed a post game, nor do I really think he ever should have, because he's already averaging 16, 17 points a game as just a dunker. I think the better way to make him more useful on offense in those situations is to play him with somebody who's willing to throw that lob pass. You know, when the rumors about him going to Atlanta kind of creeped up, and it seems like those have now died down, one of my first thoughts was, you know, James Harden and Trae Young have made Clint Capela into this great lob threat, and I don't think he's the player that Rudy Gobert is. If Gobert was in a lineup with a lob passer like Trae Young, I think the perception of him would change dramatically. He's already an offensive weapon, and that's really without getting much attention from his own teammates. He could certainly do better at punishing those small lineups as a post player or as an offensive rebounder. But I don't put it all on his shoulders the way a lot of other people might.
So the Jazz have an interesting decision in front of them with Juancho Hernangómez contract and Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Do you have any thoughts or expectations on what will happen with them in their contract situation?
Well, I've always kind of liked Juancho, even before his turn as a movie star. He's always been a fascinating player to me as a floor spacing four, and I do think there's a little bit of potential there as a playmaking four. And I think he was really playing hard there at the end of the season when he finally got a chance to get on the floor. He's not going to change your world as a playmaking four, but I do think there's something there with him, and I'd be really curious to play him more, frankly. So I think, you know, if it was me, I would probably lean towards bringing him back. Nickeil Alexander-Walker, I think the factor there is his age. And he hasn't had a chance to be in a good, stable organization and a rotation player. And maybe those two things never happen for him. So it's a little harder to get a read on what he'll be. But he's a combo guard who I've found intriguing at various times in his career. And I think combo guard is now a good thing. That used to be kind of a negative connotation. But if you can play multiple positions, as I think he can, teams like to have multiple playmakers on the floor now too. If Utah can find a team that wants Mike Conley and they can bring back some 3-and-D guys for him, you may want some more guard depth behind Donovan Mitchell. And so that would make Alexander-Walker more intriguing there.
Let's say Rudy never wins a championship, maybe picks up another Defensive Player of the Year award sometime before the end of his career. Is he a Hall of Famer?
I think I've probably been pounding the Hall of Famer drum for him for a few years already. I don't know the exact list of names, but there aren't a lot of three-time Defensive Player of the Year winners. And right as you were asking me the question, I looked him up. I don't know if you ever look at Basketball References, Hall of Fame probability. He's lower than I thought. He's below 20%. So he's got some work to do, I guess, at least based on their whatever formula they use. But he is the defender of this generation. And he, for whatever reason, I've never really been able to figure it out. I don't know if it's because he plays for the Jazz or if he's from France or what. I've always felt like the perception of him from a lot of fans is just weird. He's a very likable guy to me, and he's a dominant player. And even if a lot of people don't recognize him as the most dominant defender of his generation, he absolutely is. I mean, there's just no question about it. From the moment he became a starter in 2015-16 to now, Utah's got, I think, comfortably the best defense in the league if you combine all those seasons. Maybe the lead isn't as big as it was before this past season started, but I know he's still in the lead. In that particular number, defensive rating over however many years that's been. And I've said for a long time, a lot of people talk about how guys like James Harden and Stephen Curry and now Luka Doncic are one-man offenses, or they're offenses unto themselves. I've long thought that we can say that about Gobert. He is a defense unto himself. He is the system for the Jazz, and I think he would be wherever he went. I mean, if he gets traded this offseason, I would feel comfortable bumping whatever team he goes to up 4 or 5 spots in the defensive rankings. He's just that big of an impact. So maybe he needs a little more playoff success. Maybe he does need that one more defensive player of the year to help seal it. But I think he's got a pretty good case already.
Last thing for me, Andy, are there any targets out there in free agency that you could say would fit the Jazz that are a potential landing spot for free agency? Is there anybody out there that maybe sparks the interest for you?
Well, I think they should be looking for wings. I'm not saying anything revelatory there. And with how little cap space is available league-wide, I think you can get some pretty good players on the tax pyramid level. It's not a splashy name or names, but I really like both of the Martin twins, Caleb and Cody Martin. I always get this confused. I believe it's Cody who's a little bit better passer. Caleb's a little more scoring-minded. I always lean towards passers, typically, and I think he'd fit in great with the Jazz. One team that I think I saw was interested in Mike Conley once upon a time, with so many reports coming out in the last few weeks, it's hard to keep it all straight. But I do believe he's been mentioned as a possible veteran option for the Wizards. Now, that may change now that they have Monte Morris, but if that's true, and I know I've heard that Kyle Kuzma is available, he would be an interesting multi-positional forward. I know that's not a free agent, but I think a lot of teams are going to have to make their additions through trades this summer, again, because of just how little cap space there is. So there's a couple. I'm trying to think of other guys who might be in that taxpayer mid-level range who are 3-and-D guys. I think Gary Payton II is probably going to be hard to pry away from Golden State, and somebody's probably going to offer him the full mid-level anyway. But he's obviously a guy I find really interesting. Kyle Anderson I find really interesting too, but he's another guy who might go for the full mid-level exception. It'll kind of be interesting to see in the first couple of days of free agency, once all those full mid-levels are kind of snatched up, then maybe it's the rest of the teams that are working with the taxpayer mid-level who will have to sort of pick through what's left.
Well, Andy, we appreciate your time as always. By the way, we're at the Utah, or the Humane Society of Utah, so that's why you're hearing the barking in the background. Appreciate all your time. Thanks for joining us on short notice, and look forward to catching up, especially if some fireworks start going off here in the next few days.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Andy.
Like that dog's barking in the background. That's good stuff.
Yeah. He's barking, begging somebody to come in and give him a home. Yep.
Before we talk more about that, right now, caller number 12, make sure you call in at 801-575-5967. That's 801-575-5967. Caller number 12, you'll win 2 tickets to Aerofest that'll have REO Speedwagon, Styx, Loverboy, among others, July 9th at USANA Amphitheater. Tickets available at LiveNation.com, or you can be caller number 12 right now and win, 801-575-5967. We need to have a Zone Fest.
Oh, I agree.
Who could we bring in for Zone Fest? Johnny. And Johnny.
And Coach Lacombe.
And Coach Lacombe.
The party
hounds. Dude, there's a little bit of a, I mean, I don't want to break any news here, but Johnny and Coach were talking. We might have like a Zone super band getting formed here.
I would love to see it. That would be a good time.
Not hating that at all.
No.
All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Spencer's joining us, transfer supervisor, and you've got a really interesting job because you're essentially going to other shelters and you're bringing pets here so that you can find them homes from this facility.
Yeah, I travel all over the state of Utah. We also have the opportunity to work with Dog as my co-pilot and Wings of Rescue and fly them in from other states when they're overcrowded out there.
Because this is a pretty high adoptive area, right? This, you get a lot of adoptions out of this location.
We do. We have a really great community support here of people willing to come in and adopt rather than, you know, buy at puppy stores or go to breeders. We're super, super fortunate that we have a lot of foot traffic here and our animals are seen quite regularly by, you know, the masses.
And you've been around doing this and you've seen a lot of different shelters and a lot of different situations. $12.80 for an adoption is a pretty amazing opportunity for somebody to find that, that new family member, right?
It really is. And a lot of my shelter partners, they try to keep their adoptions prices as low as possible. Having events like this where you guys come and support us and we're able to offer people, you know, these kinds of prices for new family members because everybody can benefit from having a little fur baby in their home.
There you go.
Are you seeing a higher need of adoptions right now?
We are. We have seen a national drop in adoption rates. So we are grateful for any and all adoptions that are happening at the moment.
$12.80. The pets are spayed or neutered, chipped, healthy, ready to go. You're not going to incur any of that cost. $12.80 and you're good to go. That's
fully
incredible.
Fully vaccinated, all the things.
Wow.
Scotty, this little guy right here.
Yeah.
He has had both of his eyes taken. That, mm-hmm. that little guy's blind.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had and that's another great thing about HSU is that we are able to provide a lot of medical care for the animals that we bring into our facility. Even from our surrounding shelters, we're able to provide amputations, you know, life-saving surgeries, and even, you know, double enucleation/eye removals for small dogs like him. And he's lovely. He's awesome.
Are they able to still have a quality of life?
Absolutely. 100%. Really? I don't know if you've seen like the cute videos on Instagram and TikTok of like the animals with the halos around their heads that their moms and dads have made for them so they don't bump into walls. But they absolutely can be your perfect little lap dog and live their best life, even blind.
$12.80. Come on by, please. 4242 South 300 West. By the way, Hans, it is official. The Jazz have announced the addition of Will Hardy as the next head coach of the Utah Jazz. So we're waiting for the official announcement. Thought it might come out. And I can see why. They put together a pretty fancy little video and stuff.
So
I think the delay was because the Jazz wanted to make sure that it was looking good.
Wait a second. The Jazz have hired a new head coach?
Yes. Yep. Breaking news.
Do you think that this just is rain on their parade? Do you think every time they're like, oh my gosh, or is it put out there on purpose?
Oh, it's put out there on purpose. I mean, there's so many agents and so many other people involved that there's no way you can keep that quiet.
There's just, it'd be almost impossible, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I just wonder if they're like, well, I guess the fire's still burning a little bit.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll talk about the video and we'll talk more about the release.
Will Hardy, now officially the head coach of the Utah Jazz. We'll break it down next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined now by former BYU running back Will Snowden.
So it took Utah 10 years to win the Pac-12. How long is it going to take for BYU to win the Big 12?
Well, you know, I played at BYU, graduated from the school. It's a very special place to me. And I will tell you, it will take at least 6 to 7 years before they win the Big 12 outright. So about half of what it took my other partners in crime, the youth, to get there. But that will give the Twitter world some crazy stuff to fight with the Utah and BYU fans so I can sit there and giggle you know, we're a better program because we won the Big 12 quicker than Utah did, and it'll be fun. Some mud throwing.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10 on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
any part of the show, every moment of every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by You First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Live here at the Humane Society of Utah. $12.80 takes care of your adoption fees. It's that simple. Come on. Let's get you a, what'd she say, a fur baby?
I don't know. Did somebody say that?
Yeah. I think our friend Spencer here just said,
a fur baby?
Come get your fur baby.
I just retweeted the video of me and the two Utah offensive linemen holding the puppies. And I'm telling you, man, it doesn't matter how big you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It dogs, cats, animals just change your life for the better. You know, unconditional love is a unique thing in this world. And animals give that. And these animals down here at these shelters really do need the home. And they need the help. And that's why I got involved with this. I mean, I know that you are a very willing participant. I know this means a lot to you, but you know that this is kind of my life. Like,
yeah.
dogs and cats and animals mean so much to me. And these guys need homes. And I think we're going to continue to see an influx, personally, as the economy tries to figure itself out. Things get more expensive. Animals always get tossed to the side. And I don't want that to happen.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. They take such good care of these animals down here, and you can transition one into your home really easily.
And it's a no-kill shelter.
Yeah.
You know, they go to great lengths to try to give these animals another chance at life. So that's why Scotty are doing this. We're able to work with them to get the adoption rate to $12.80, and this is your opportunity to get a friend for $12.80. Yep. And like Scotty mentioned, 10% off vet care, 10% off vaccinations. This is the life of the pet. Plus, you know that animal will be chipped. That chip is the identification, so if it ever runs away, you scan that chip. It tells the vet or whoever's scanning it right where it belongs, and they come just in a beautiful, perfect little package to send home with you. So I know it feels like there's a lot that goes with it, but it's low cost. You can find the food and you can find the low cost. And when you've got the backing of the Humane Society, it's a huge help for you.
And 10% off for the life of that animal too.
Yeah.
If there's any, you know, medical or vaccinations or whatever you need to do, boom. It's taken care of.
$12.80 ends at 7 o'clock today. So if you're driving around and you're like, I don't know, well, go get the family, go get the kids. You know, it's a summer day.
Yeah.
Come on down and see if you can find that one that you can take home and give a life to.
All right. By the way, Sports Roulette, normally we do that here, but considering that the Jazz have a new head coach, and it is official, folks, no longer the Jazz are zeroing in on Will Hardy. No, the offer has been made. The offer has been accepted, and Will Hardy will soon be introduced as the new head coach of the Utah Jazz. Jazz put out a video talking about the hire. Here is Will Hardy from that Jazz promotional video.
This has always been a really hard place to play. You come here, and you always knew that when you walked in the building, you were going to have, you know, 17,000, 18,000 people breathing down your neck. We want a team that's tough and competes every single night. There's always room to improve, whether that's individually or as a team, and always trying to find those avenues where we can continue to improve is huge. I think the opportunity to be a part of a group that's trying to move forward together. I mean, we're trying to build something special here in Utah, something that our team and our fans are proud of, and, you know, being a part of something like that obviously is the biggest draw to coming to Utah.
He's he's not exactly high energy guy, and he's just kind of no bull kind of guy, isn't he?
Nope.
He's not coming in all hype and pomp.
Yeah, he's not going to be the guy that's going to win over the press conference with his over-the-top enthusiasm. This is a guy that he's a very much a lunch pail. Bring it to work and let's go. And let's get our job done.
Just for the sake of this being the first audio we've got from the new head coach of the Utah Jazz, can we play that again? I want to hear it again. I want to listen to some of the details of what he's saying. Can you play that again, Lloyd?
This has always been a really hard place to play. You come here and you always knew that when you walked in the building, you were going to have, 17,000, 18,000 people breathing down your neck. We want a team that's tough and competes every single night. There's always room to improve, whether that's individually or as a team, and always trying to find those avenues where we can continue to improve is huge. I think the opportunity to be a part of a group that's trying to move forward together, I mean, we're trying to build something special here in Utah, something that our team and our fans are proud of, and, being a part of something like that obviously is the biggest draw to coming to Utah.
So I think the thing that really stands out to me is probably the second thing he said, or third, was we want to be tough.
Yeah.
If he comes in here and he instills a toughness that we saw in Boston, because the one thing that you constantly brought up when we saw Boston Golden State announced or make it to the finals was this going to be a dogfight. You knew, I think it was game two or game three, you sent out a tweet and you were like, something about their toughness.
Yeah. It's after game three.
Their tenacity. If this guy can come in and instill that in this Jazz team, then he's won, in my opinion. He'll win the public affection. He'll win my appreciation and respect. And he'll win a lot of games.
Yeah.
Bring the toughness. Because that is one area where it really feels like when the Jazz are falling short in the postseason, it's a toughness issue. And that toughness issue, a lot of times it displays itself on the defensive side of the ball. You can show toughness defensively much easier in the world of basketball than you can show toughness offensively. So bring the toughness, and I think you'll own the fan base.
Lloyd, if you have that first cut that we sent over where we had to beep out some words, I want to revisit that as well.
Yeah, I would like to hear that too.
Because this is Will. Now, keep in mind, this is from a podcast that Will Hardy was on a couple of years ago. He was in the bubble, and he was interviewed by – it was a podcast where there were, I think, some college students that were asking him questions as well. And he was asked about at a young age, and at this point he's 32, and he's assistant with the Spurs when he answers this question. And he's been working around – Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker and Tim Duncan. And he was asked at that young age, how do you go about getting the respect of older players, of established players, of all-stars? How do you earn their respect? Here's the question that was asked to him, and here's the response.
With your upbringing, man, what are some things you did to gain that respect and build that rapport with the Manu Ginobili's and the Tim Duncan's of the world? Because I just think that's something hard to do, man, and not a lot of people realize you got to get that buy-in before an X and or an O comes into play.
Yeah, again, I think it's some stuff that both Ryan and Jordan alluded to. I just tried to be consistent, right? I tried to be there every day. Mm-hmm. I'm there early, I'm there late. I'm trying to do all that extra stuff. I'm trying to be consistent with my mood, my attitude. And again, I'm trying to be prepared. And that doesn't mean that I'm walking up to them every day saying, hey, you should do this, or hey, I was thinking about this. I didn't say shit. But there were three times a season, when I'm young working in San Antonio, and Manu would come over at practice and say, hey, what does that guy shoot from three? The guy that I'm, my matchup, what's he shoot from three? And if I knew, you gain a little bit of respect. Oh, he's prepared. He knows his shit. So it wasn't me trying to push myself on them. It was more being consistent every day. They see that I'm there. They see that I'm working hard. And then trying to be as prepared as I could be for those moments when you were asked a question, those moments when you were given an opportunity to speak. I never tried to kind of beat down the door with, hey, I know this or I know that. And again, I'm lucky as shit because I was already on the inside, so to speak. Like, I'm there at practice. I'm there at the workouts. Like, I have access to those guys. And so because of that, I just tried to make the most of that opportunity and not fuck it up. I just wanted to be prepared and present.
All right, and apologies for the beeps, but I mean, this guy's he's an NBA coach.
Well,
you're going to get some of that. So
it's also, I appreciate the, Scotty found this stuff, and I kind of appreciate the candor, kind of the inside look as to who he is. I'm really starting to build an idea and a vision of what this guy's about. And I don't want the guy that comes in and wins the presser. I don't really care about the guy that comes in and wins the presser.
Yeah.
And he's not going to really win the presser. You can tell.
Yeah.
He is not a Craig Smith-like vibrant personality. And that's fine. If he comes in and it is about base level grit, determination, fundamentals, and being able to switch that gear that Donovan Mitchell, that Quinn Snyder couldn't get Donovan Mitchell to switch.
Yeah.
Then I'm all for it, man.
Let's go.
And if it takes a couple of F-bombs and shaking a fist and lowering down thunder, all hell and thunder, I'm fine with that. Now, does it work in today's NBA? Maybe where he is of this age, he is their age. So maybe he understands better how to use that old school mentality on a new school mind. But he feels like a throwback.
He does have
that. Feels like a Jerry Sloan
throwback. This sounds like a Jerry Sloan clone.
Yeah.
Right there.
Like I'm not going to pump up my volume.
Right down to the beeps.
Yeah, I'm not going to pump up my volume to get you excited. What I'm going to do is we're going to talk about what we have in front of us, and I've got a good opportunity, and beep, 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 and they better beep and do it.
Let's go, and don't beep it up.
I could see, you've seen the criticism out there. I think that a lot of people don't feel like this guy is the right guy. And to me, this is more exciting than if it was Terry Stotts up there.
Well, this morning when I was doing a deep dive on this guy, the more I read about him, the more I listened to him, the more I talked to people, the more I'm like, you know what? I'm buying the hype on this right now. Now, that can certainly change pretty quickly, but it's hard not to buy in when you hear comments like that. All right, we'll wrap this thing up, get you ready for Unrivaled. It's all straight ahead. You're listening to 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Watch the breakdown.
It's the 8th annual Top 60 and 60.
3, 2, 1.
60 and 60.
It's go time.
Get your college football fix every day at 1:30 as the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2022 season by listing off the top 60 players in the state of Utah.
60 and 60.
As voted on by the local media and you, the fans. You'll also hear from the coaches as they talk about the players that will impact their season the most. It's the Top 60 and 60. Weekdays at 1:30, presented by Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. On your home for the best college football coverage in Utah, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Woo! 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 You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin. Chin, Chin.
That's right, yeah!
Presented by You First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Show.
Hans and Scotty wrapping up another edition of the show. This has been a fun one today, Hans.
It's just bits of news after bits of news, and it sounds like you opened up the show essentially saying that if things are going to happen with the trades, then it's going to happen pretty quickly, and I get the sense that they, and you say you don't have any insight, but it does feel between you and Coach Tacoma, especially when you were going back and forth, that it feels like there's something on the move.
I would say, not to steal a friend from our Still a phrase from our good friend Craig Bullerjack, but I would buckle up. These next 48 hours could be a bit of a roller coaster.
After the official announcement now of Coach Hardy hiring to the Utah Jazz, there's what you've sensed is a lot more to come.
I think that if the Jazz are going to make substantial roster moves, which I think we anticipate that they will, that those moves are going to happen quickly, and I think in the next 48 hours – you very well could see a much different Utah Jazz roster.
A readjustment of the roster.
Yeah.
To see how it fits this new coach. Can't wait. I'm excited to see how this all goes, and have absolutely loved the day. There's so many different sports things that are going on that we haven't had a chance to attack. Maybe we'll get a little bit of breath. Well, maybe we won't get a little bit of breath later this week, but the sports world is rich right now.
Yeah. Well, we've been hanging out here at the Humane Society of Utah. Guinevere's kind enough to join us. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that they want to adopt, but for whatever reason they can't. You can also help out by fostering, too.
Yeah, there's lots of ways you can help out here at the shelter. Fostering is a great way to bring an animal into your home short term. These could be animals that aren't quite ready for adoption yet. Maybe they're too young to be spayed or neutered, so they need a couple of weeks before they're old enough for that. It could be an animal recovering from a surgery that needs a little quiet place to stay while they heal. So lots of options there. And then we also have volunteers. So, you know, if you can't bring an animal home, we would love your help. You can come down, sign up. And volunteers do all sorts of things here, walking dogs, playing with the cats, even helping us with special events.
So if you can volunteer, that's great. If you could be a foster, that's incredible. If you can come in and adopt, we would welcome that, love that. $12.80 for your adoption fees. And that goes until 7 o'clock tonight, right?
That goes to 7 o'clock. And if you can't do any of those things, you can always donate. You know, we're a nonprofit. We receive no federal government money. We aren't a part of any national organization. So we rely solely on donations from our community, from individuals. Wow. From local businesses. So you can hit up our website, utahhumane.org/donate, and no amount is too small. Got $5 today. That's awesome. Got more, even better.
Yeah, I love it because I see these amazing dogs, you know, and I'm just watching one coming in here that going on a walk with the family, and you know, some of them up in years, 8 years, 10 years, maybe they got 3-4 years left to live. And the fact that you could give them a home where they can just enjoy the last few years of their life and feel loved and feel like part of a family and have a little place to run and,
yeah.
You know, maybe get a table scrap, even though we're not supposed to do that. But, you know, like those great moments, and give the kids lots of licks and love and protection and all the things that you need. This is such a beautiful union. I just can't say enough about what animals do for us in our lives. That
So much. And, you know, when you adopt a dog or a cat or any animal for that matter, you know, you're saving two lives because you're opening up space for us to bring in more animals or help more animals.
Oh, wow. That's a good point.
You know, so you're really helping out more than just the animal you're taking home.
We need you. And Scotty, thanks for, you know, being willing to come do this. And I love coming doing it. And Lloyd, I know that this is important to you. This is our second annual Day of Adoption, and I hope to keep this going on for many, many years to come, and I hope that our listeners can come in at some point between now and 7 o'clock and find that animal to take home.
Yeah, we sure appreciate it.
Well, it's been a lot of fun, and just seeing our guy Richard get adopted earlier, that was awesome.
Yeah. Richard, what kind of dog was Richard?
We think he was a sheep doodle.
A sheep doodle.
So, yeah, he's lots of character.
Big old hairy fella.
He was a happy son of a gun getting out of here, too.
Yeah, big old hairy fella. And they had a dog at home. So Richard's going to be a part of this family. So, that's the other thing I love about the shelter. They aren't going to send you home with a non-fit. Mm-hmm. You know, they walk through all the situations. Do you got kids? Do you have other pets? Okay, well, we've got this pet that will fit in this situation. And you help integrate that animal into safe home living.
Yeah, you know, some animals we don't have a lot of history on, but those that we do, we share all of that information with the potential adopters. And like you said, you know, if you come in for one animal and maybe it's not a great fit, we'll try and point out who is a good fit
for
you guys. So,
well, we appreciate it. Thanks for letting us come down here.
Thanks so much for having us.
4242 South 300 West. Again, Humane Society of Utah, $12.80. The adoption fees continue throughout the rest of the day. But again, $12.80. That's it. That's all you'll pay to adopt a pet. Let's go. Let's get these animals taken care of right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.